As the Apostle Paul wrote to God's people in Philippi, he exhorted them in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." This is what all men should continually do. Rejoice in the Lord. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 150, verse 6. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." Now the reason why men ought to rejoice in the Lord always and continually praise Him is because of His wonderful glory and greatness. It is because of God's majesty and magnificence. And this is why we ought to worship and praise Him continually. This is why we ought to rejoice in Him always. The reason why people do not worship God and do not rejoice and praise Him is because they're ignorant of the Lord. They do not know God. As Moses stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and declared to him, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Pharaoh responded by saying, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." The reason why Pharaoh had no regard for God's word, the reason why he refused to obey and lived in sin and rebellion, was because he knew not the Lord. Ignorance of God was Pharaoh's big problem. He did not know God, therefore he failed to honor and obey Him in his life. And sadly, this is the case with so many. They do not rejoice in the Lord. They do not praise Him. They do not worship Him because they live in ignorance of God's glory and greatness. There is a terrible ignorance and darkness in regard to who God is and His majesty and magnificence. As we then consider the Lord, and this is what we have been doing in our study of the attributes of God, we've been focusing in upon His majesty and glory. As we do this, it should fill our hearts with worship and with adoration. And really this should be our response as we consider who God is. We should be moved to rejoice in Him and to worship Him more and more. David said to God's people in Psalm 34 verse 3, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." This is my desire as we consider God's attributes and perfections, that we all will be led more and more to magnify the Lord. And together we will, with zeal and passion, exalt and lift up His name in this world. As we consider the Lord, all of His glorious attributes should move us to worship and magnify Him. This is what they ought to do within our souls, within our hearts and lives. They should move us to worship Him and to magnify Him. However, the particular attribute of God that I want us to consider today should especially cause men to rejoice with the greatest delight in the Lord. Today I want us to think upon the truth, God is love. The truth, God is love. Love is another one of God's glorious perfections and qualities. And this is something that is stated most clearly in this passage that we have just read here in 1 John 4. In verse 8 we read, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Notice also in verse 16 it tells us, God is love. How men ought to rejoice in this most glorious truth. God is love. Indeed, this is the truth that should fill our hearts with the greatest comfort and the greatest hope and consolation. Last time we considered how God is holy. He is the thrice holy one. But the truth that God is holy, infinitely holy, uncompromisingly holy, impeccably holy, is that which should greatly concern men and women. This is something that should cause us to be greatly concerned about our own state. The holiness of God should move sinful men to really be troubled in their own souls. Indeed, the holiness of God, when it is manifested to sinful men, causes them to hide from the Lord. And this is something we see from our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Remember, after they sinned, as God manifested His presence in the garden after that, they ran and they hid from the presence of the Lord because they were conscious God is holy. And so the holiness of God is something which should cause men deep concern, even dread. But the truth that God is love is the most comforting and delightful thing for sinful men. We can say God's holiness drives us from His presence, but God's love draws us back. If the Lord had only been holy, there would be no hope for any man. Hell would have been the eternal home of each and every person. But because God is a God of love, as well as a God of holiness, there is hope and salvation for all who will trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. And so love is one of God's attributes that should cause us especially to rejoice in the Lord and to worship Him. Of course, love is another one of God's communicable attributes. It's another one of God's perfections that He in creation has communicated to man. Remember last time we spoke about how God's attributes can be divided into two categories. His incommunicable ones, those qualities that belong to Him and solely to Him. But then there's the communicable attributes, those things that God has communicated to man. And love is one of God's communicable attributes. He is the God of love. But in creation, He has put love into the hearts of men and women. He's blessed us with this great quality. And we know what it is to be loved and to show love. We're well aware of this own quality in our own lives. Yet the love that we possess, the love that is found within our hearts and lives, is but minuscule and minute in comparison to the magnitude and magnificence of God's love. What love is found in the love of the Lord? Notice then with me three things about the truth God is love today. The truth that love is one of God's great perfections. Firstly, I want us to think on the wonder of God's love. The wonder of God's love. We are told here in 1 John 4, God is love. Yet, it is vital that we understand the nature and the character of God's love. What is the love of God like? And how is it different from the emotion of love that is found in the hearts of men and women? Well, consider with me three things about the wonder of God's love. In the first place, we can say God's love is a good love. It is a good love. That is, God loves and only loves that which is good. God only loves that which is righteous and holy and good. Psalm 11 verse 7 tells us, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. Psalm 45 verses 6 and 7 tell us, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. God's love then is a good love. A love that hates sin and delights in righteousness. And this is the love of God. It's a good love. It's a love that delights in that which is holy and pure. This is the major difference and distinction between God's love and the love that is found in the hearts of men and women. The love that is found in God's heart, so to speak, is pure. And it is righteous and holy, and it's always this. But the love that is very often found in the hearts of men is for evil and wicked things. Think of how the scriptures tell us the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a love that is evil and wicked. The love of money. But the love that God has, it is a good love. Now, because the Lord loves that which is good and holy, He of necessity must love Himself. He of necessity must love Himself. 1 Samuel 2 and 2 reminds us, there is none holy as the Lord. God is the Holy One. Therefore, because God loves that which is good and holy, He must love Himself. Because He is the ultimate holiness. He is the Holy One. The greatest thing that man can do is to love the Lord. This is the most righteous and holy behavior that man can engage in. This is what we are to do. We are to love the Lord. God then, in the glory of His holiness, loves and delights in Himself because this is the most holy thing to do. when men love themselves, when we have an unholy love for ourselves, we are loving something that is sinful because we are sinful by nature. But when God loves Himself, He is loving that which is holy and pure and righteous. The Word of God clearly teaches us that God does love Himself. Within the three persons of the Trinity, there is a love one for another. Turn over with me to the book of Proverbs for a moment. Proverbs chapter 8. Notice what it says here. And the reason why I point this out today, that God loves Himself, is because it teaches us that before there was a creation, God was still a God of love. Very often people think, well, God's a God of love because He has created us and He is now able to love us. But even before there was a creation, God was still a God of love because there was this relationship between the persons within the Trinity. Proverbs chapter 8 and the verse 23 tells us, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. This is speaking of Christ. I was set up from everlasting. He is the everlasting one. From the beginning, or ever the earth was. Then we read in verse 27. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the deep, or of the depth. And again, speaking of Christ. When He established the clouds above. When He strengthened the fountains of the deep. When He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment. When He appointed the fountains, the foundations of the earth. And this is all speaking about Christ being there. Of course, He was the one that was there. But then verse 30 tells us, then was I by Him, as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. See, here within the Trinity, even before creation, there was this relationship within the Trinity. This loving relationship. Because this is God's very nature. God is love. And before there was a creation, before there was a world to love, God loved Himself. Because He is the God of love. The Lord Jesus also prayed in John 17 verse 24. Father, Thou lovest Me before the foundations, or the foundation of the world. Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Before creation, God was a God of love. For within the persons of the Trinity, the glorious Trinity, there was this infinite love one for another. And so God's love is a good love. A love for that which is holy and that which is pure. But then secondly, as we think of the wonder of God's love, we can say God's love is not only a good love, but God's love is a gracious love. A gracious love. It is a love that is bestowed upon those that do not deserve it. We're really reminded of this in verse 19 here in 1 John 4. Turn back again to John, 1 John 4 and see what it says in verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. It is man's first duty to love the Lord. This is our first duty. Christ made this clear as He declared in Matthew 22 verses 37 and 38. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is man's chief and supreme duty. To love the Lord with all of his being. Our first duty. Our supreme duty. Yet the Apostle John reminds us here, we only love Him because He first loved us. In other words, He loved us when we didn't love Him. He loved us when we didn't do our duty. When we were sinners. He loved us even though there was nothing lovable about us. And so God's love is a gracious love. For He bestows it upon those who don't deserve it. Those that don't love Him. Man in sin is a most unlovable thing to the holy God of heaven. And again, we should always be conscious of this. People have this idea, I deserve the love of God. I deserve the goodness of God. No, we don't. There's not one of us deserves the goodness of God or the love of God. If God was to give us what we justly deserve, we would be in hell today. Under eternal wrath and judgment. We do not deserve the love of God. We don't deserve one breath. Because every breath we take is the love of God. But we don't deserve that. And this is how the devil has deceived the minds of men and women, thinking that somehow we are deserving. And God owes us some kind of goodness and love and kindness. He doesn't. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. That's the payment we deserve. That's what we're owed. Yet despite the fact that we deserve eternal wrath and judgment, God manifests his love toward us. Man and sin is the most unlovable thing to a holy God. Think of the words of Isaiah 64 verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And really these words are telling us that man and sin is the most disgusting thing. Think of the most disgusting thing that you could possibly think of. And then think of loving that. Well, that's what God does with man. His love is gracious. Despite how unlovable man is, God in grace has chosen to manifest his love towards man. This is the wonder of God's love. And really, it cannot be explained. This cannot be explained. This is the mystery of mysteries. Who could explain the love of God for man? This cannot be explained. The wonder of God's love. It is a good love. But it's also a gracious love. But then also notice with me as we think about the wonder of God's love. It's a giving love. It's a giving love. Notice now the words of verse 10 here in 1 John 4. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In love, God sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins. What giving there is in the love of God's giving. What giving there is. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son in love. The Apostle Paul, speaking of Christ in Galatians 2:20, says, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why Christ gave himself for Paul and Christ gave himself for all of his people. Because he loved me. He loved them. All that God has done for man in salvation is because he is a God of love. All that he's done is because he is a God of love. In love, the Lord Jesus came into this world as a babe. He left glory in heaven. He left his Father's side and he humbled himself and he came into this world. Why? Because he's the God of love. In love, he lived a life of poverty and suffered the mockery and scorn of men. In love, Christ surrendered himself into the hands of evil men and suffered all of the brutality that they could inflict upon him. He was beaten. He was spat upon. A crown of thorns was embedded in his head. His visage was so marred more than any man. And this is what he endured in love. In love, the Lord Jesus suffered the death of the cross. The holy and just wrath of God was poured out upon his soul. This is the giving of God's love. The hymn writer put it this way. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love. The love of God to me that brought my Savior from above to die on Calvary. God's love is a giving love. For he gave the greatest gift ever given. Christ gave himself for us. The wonder of his love. The wonder of it. He gave himself for us. The Holy One. The Innocent One. He came into this world and gave himself to the accursed death of the cross. Because he loved the unlovable. This is the wonder of God's love. Very often foolish and faithless men will ask the question, if God is a God of love, why does he allow this to happen? And why does he allow that to happen? People ask these questions. Why does God allow disease in this world? If God's a God of love, and right away they're calling into question this truth. If God's a God of love, why does he allow disease? And why does he allow death? And why does he allow disasters to take place? And people will say, well, you know, if God's a God of love, why does he allow good people to suffer? Let me tell you right away, there are no good people. There are no good people. We've already covered that. There are no good people. But if God's a God of love, why does he allow these things to happen? Well, the reason why that question is so foolish and so wrong is because it ignores two very important truths. It ignores the truth that the mess in this world is man's own doing. That's the first thing. The mess in this world is man's own doing. God made a perfect world. A world where there was no disease, death, or disasters. But man in sin destroyed it. And so he's in the mess of his own making. It wasn't God who made this mess. It's man. It ignores that first truth. But the question, how could a God of love allow bad things to happen, is especially foolish. Because it ignores all that God in love has done to save man from the mess and misery of sin. That's why it's especially foolish. It ignores the fact that God came into this world in the person of his Son, and went all the way to the cross, and suffered the accursed death of the cross to save us from our sin. How dare men then say, if God's a God of love? What pride, what obnoxious behavior to even think that. This is what God has done. He gave his Son in love. And then men somehow come along and ask, well, is God, if God's a God of... What stupidity and foolishness. That's a devilish and satanic thought, you know. It's the most wicked thought. We should never question the love of God because of what he's given. His Son to redeem us from the mess and curse of sin. This is the wonder of God's love. It's a good love. God loves that which is holy. It's a gracious love. It's undeserving. And it's a giving love. God gave himself for us. And so we have the wonder of God's love. But then the second major point I want us to consider today is the work of God's love. The work of it. What we are really thinking of here is how God manifests his love towards man. How the Lord works in love in this world and in the lives of men and women. You see, God does not love all men equally. God does not love all men equally. This may surprise you. You may be startled by this today. But God's word clearly reveals that the Lord does not love all men and all women in the same way or to the same degree. For example, we read in Malachi 1 verses 2 and 3, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I love Jacob and I hated Esau. Now here were two brothers, twin brothers. Yet we are told the Lord loved Jacob and hated Esau. This shows us, clearly shows us that God does not love all men equally. He does not love all men equally or to the same degree. How then does God work in love? How does he manifest his great love in this world towards men and women? Well, as we consider the way that God and love works, we can say God manifests his love towards the children of men in two ways. God manifests his love towards men in two ways. There is, first of all, the universal work of God's love. The universal work of God's love. This is the love that God has towards all men and all of his creation. While the scriptures reveal to us that God does not love all men equally, it also reveals to us that all men experience in no small measure or degree, in no small measure, the love of God towards them. All men experience in no small measure the love of God towards them. Think of the words of the Lord Jesus as he preached in the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what he declared in Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Christ is teaching us here that as God's children, we should love our enemies. And that's what he's saying. We're to love our enemies. We're to do good to those that hate us and despitefully use us. We're to pray for them. Now, the reason why Christ says this is because this is what God does. He in love gives to good men and also to evil men rain and sunshine. In love, he blesses all men with the many good things of life. And this is what God does. He just doesn't bless those that he considers to be good and righteous or who live more moral lives or even those that are his own people. No, he blesses all men with rain and sunshine and the good things of life. Psalm 145 verse 9 puts it in this way, the Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works. And so all men universally have experienced the love of God towards them. There is not a man or woman that has not been blessed to know God's love in their life. Not one person in this world has ever existed who's never been a beneficiary of God's love towards them. In theological terms, this universal love of God towards man is called common grace. And that's what it's called. It's called common grace. It's God's common goodness towards all men. Or upon all men. His common grace. His universal love for all men. James 1:17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let us never forget that every good thing that we have in life can be traced back to the loving hand of a loving God. Every single good thing, right down to the very least, or the very smallest detail. The strength that we have, the talents that we have, the food that we have, the comforts that we have, the very breath that we draw, that's God's love. For he's given it. Comes from his hand. And so we have the universal work of God's love. This love that he manifests towards all men. But then, we also see in Scripture the unique work of God's love. The unique work of God's love. You see, although God shows forth his love towards all people, there are some people that God loves in a very special and unique way. And listen to me carefully because this is important. These people are his believing people. They are those that God saves and ultimately will bring to heaven. The Lord loves these people in a most wonderful, unique and special way. I once heard a preacher describe the love of God towards men in this way. God loves all men with some love. And he loves some men with all love. God loves all men with some love. That's common grace. But he loves some men with all love. And this special love, this unique love, is that which theologians call God's special grace. His special grace. This unique love that God manifests towards men. We can say if this special love God has for men, it is an unmeasurable love. We read in Psalm 103 verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. And really what we're told there is God's love towards his people, it's without measure, it's infinite. It's as high as the heaven is above the earth. Cannot be measured. It's an unmeasurable love. This special love God has for some men is an unbreakable love. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8 verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This love cannot be broken. We cannot be separated from God's love. Those that are the beneficiaries, the recipients of God's unique and special love, his special grace, this cannot end. We cannot be separated from his love. And so, this special love God has for men, or some men, is unmeasurable. It's unbreakable. We can also say if this special love God has for some men, it is unending. Unending love. The Lord says in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Loved thee with an... It's an unending love. Cannot end. Now, we might well ask the question, why does God love some people in this special way? Really, this is the question. Scripture clearly reveals that God doesn't love all men equally. He shows love to some men, but He shows a special love to some men. Why is this the case? Why does God love some people in a special way? Is it because they're special people? More deserving? They're church-going people. They're moral people. They're good living people. Is that why God loves some people in a special way? Of course it's not. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none that deserve the love of God. Why does God love some men in a special way? Well, it's all because of Christ. Those people that the Lord loves in a special way are found in Christ. They have been joined to Him by faith. They belong to Him. And so the reason why God loves them in a special way is that He loves them through His Son. He loves them through Christ. These people trust in Christ. They belong to Christ. They are His people. Christ's name is upon them. Christ has claimed them as His. And because God the Father loves His Son, and we've already noticed this, God must love Himself. Therefore, if you are joined to Christ by faith, God must love you in a special way. Because you now belong to Him. You belong to Him. And this is the only reason why some men and some women are loved by God in a special way. Because they're joined to Christ. And I want you to grasp this today. Because this is so fundamental. So essential. If you want to enjoy God's special love, God's unmeasurable love, God's unbreakable love, God's unending love, you must be joined to Christ. That is so essential. This is the most vital part that we will consider today in this message. You must be joined to Christ, or else you're putting yourself outside God's special love. You're putting yourself beyond the boundaries of it. Indeed, outside of Christ, and listen to me, outside of Christ, man eventually will end up completely removed from the love of God. Yes, while we live in this world, we enjoy the love of God to some degree, to a great degree, in regard to the things that we enjoy in life. But if you die outside of Christ, you know what will happen the moment you die? You will be forever removed from God's love in any shape or form. And you will forever come under His holy wrath and judgment for all eternity. Therefore, this is why you need to get to Christ today. This is why you need to flee to Him. Because only in Him can you be loved eternally by God. Only in Him. Therefore, seek Him today as your Savior if you've never done it. This is the work of God's love. There's the universal work, but there's the unique work. And so we have here the work of God's love. The wonder of God's love. One last thing, notice with me here, and that's the wooing of God's love. As the Lord manifests His love towards men, He does so that they will respond to that love. This is why God loves men, so that they will respond to that love. God said to Israel in Hosea 11 verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. See here what God was doing with Israel. He was not just loving them, but he was drawing them in love. Drawing them unto himself in love. He was desiring a response in their lives. Oh, God's love does require a response from men. Indeed, it demands a response of men. It demands it. And Paul declared in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, for the love of God constraineth us. It was that great pull in his life. That great force constrained him. Now, how should we respond to the wooing of God's love? What should men do in light of the glorious truth, God is love? What should we do? Well, our response to God's love should be twofold. Firstly, we should love him. We should love him who is love. See again what it says in verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And basically what John is saying is, those that have experienced God's love, truly experienced it, come to grasp it, will love him. If man's greatest duty is to love the Lord, then the greatest sin that man can commit is not to love the Lord. And again, I want you to think about that. We so often think, well, you know, there's the big sins in the world out there. Oh, those big sins. There's people out there and they're sodomites. There's people out there and they're living immoral lives and they're doing this and they're the big sins. You know what the big sin is? The Bible tells us. It's not to love the Lord. Not to love him. How then do we love the Lord? Well, Christ tells us how we love the Lord. In John 14 verse 15. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Of course, Christ's commandments include many things. His commandments include repentance from sin. Repentance from sin. Romans 2 and 4 tells us that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. This is why God manifests his love towards us. And when it speaks there about the goodness of God, it's speaking about his loving kindness. The loving kindness of God. What should it do in the life of man? Lead us to repentance. If you love God, you will repent of your sin. You will obey the command, repent ye and be converted. Christ's command includes repentance from sin. It also includes receiving him as our Savior. He commands men to trust in him. This is his command to men. To believe in him. If we love the Lord, we will receive him as our Savior. We will obey this command. And of course, if we love the Lord, we will obey the command to live by the truth. To respond to Scripture in our lives. This is how we love the Lord. We repent from our sin. We receive him as our Savior. And we respond to Scripture day by day in our lives. This is how we love him. Now, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord today? Think of these things, and I've only mentioned them because time is well gone. Are you repenting of sin? Are you one that is trusting in Christ? Do you seek to live by Scripture? This is loving God. This needs to be our response. And so our response to God's love should be, we love him first of all, and then it should also be, we love others. We love others. How clearly does John make this in this passage of Scripture we've been reading? Oh, and this is one of his major truths here, that we love others because God loves us. Verse 11 tells us, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 20 says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? The love of God demands that we graciously love others as we have been loved. And that's what it demands of us. In fact, the love of God puts great demands upon us because this is not easy. Christ said to the disciples in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Think of Christ's love for us. We've considered it already. Christ says, this is what you're to do now. Live in light of my love for you. This needs to be our response to the love of God. Let me just say in closing, without love, the Christian is rendered useless. The Christian is rendered useless and ineffective without love. This is what Paul reminded God's people of in 1 Corinthians 13. He declared, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing." Think of what Paul was saying there. I could be the greatest preacher. I could be the greatest theologian. I could be the most charitable and moral person that ever stood on two feet. But if I have not got love, it's nothing. It's worthless. Think also of what the church, Christ said to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2. It was a church that it was in many ways commendable. It had its doctrine right. It had everything right. It was separated from sin. And it was so right in so many areas. And Christ commended it. And then after his commendation, he says this: "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And he said, "Unless you repent, I'm going to remove you. I'm going to take you away." This is how vital love is, you see. Without it, we are worthless. We are pointless. We are useless. We must be a people who first of all love God and love one another. We must be a church shaped in this model. If we are going to be truly effective living the Christian life and serving Christ. This is the wooing of God's love. It draws us to love the Lord and to love one another. God is love. May this love constrain us. May it constrain us, first of all, to love the Lord with all of our being. And then to love one another as ourselves. I trust God will bless his truth to our hearts this day for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.